The scripture reading today is the one that we had last Sunday, and at the time Alan said it was his favorite, and it's one of my favorites too. So the reading is from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading today is from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It's the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my accuser.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Last week, I came across some old church jokes that have been around a long time. It's about favorite hymns. Do you know dentist's favorite hymn? Well, it's "Crown Him with Many Crowns." How about politician's favorite hymn? "Standing on the Promises." Cobbler, shoe repairman's favorite hymn? "It Is Well with My Soul." Librarian's favorite hymn? "Whispering Hope." Get it, right? IRS agent's favorite hymn? "I Surrender All." Finally, gossipers' favorite hymn? "Pass It On." Of course, you are not called to share any gossips, but God's love and grace with everyone. Amen? Amen. It is generally known that hymns we sing are prayers with melodies. We are blessed to have amazing two music groups, especially Bell Choir, Allegro Ringers, and Aldersgate Chorale. Yeah, whenever we sing God, we praise God's name, and it is prayer. That's why music is integral and inspiring part of any worship service, especially in our Christian worship settings. Prayer is a powerful instrument of God's praising God's name giving thanks to God and uplifting our souls. Prayer definitely helps us to find calm through God's peace. So this morning, my sermon is about prayer. Welcome back to my sermon series, Pursuing Calm in These Anxious Times. Last Sunday, I shared with you the first letter C from the acronym CALM, C-A-L-M. C stands for Celebrate God's Goodness. This morning, the second letter is A. A stands for Ask God for Help. For Christians, it is natural and essential to ask God for anything, especially for help in our lives, right? But in reality, we are too arrogant and too self-centered to ask God for help. Apostle Paul clearly and strongly urges us in the Philippians text this morning in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Yes, let your request be made known to God. So this morning, I'd like to share with you my three insights point in asking God for help. Number one, anxiety is needless because God is near. Do you know the difference between fear and anxiety? These two words sound familiar, similar, but different. From the book Anxious for Nothing, the author Max Lucado explains the difference. Quote, anxiety and fear are cousins, but not twins. Fear sees a threat. Anxiety imagines one. Fear screams, get out. Anxiety ponders, what if? Fear results in fight or flight. Anxiety creates doom and gloom. Fear is the pulse that pounds when you see a coiled rattlesnake in your front yard. Anxiety is the voice that tells you never ever for the rest of your life walk barefooted through the grass. There might be a snake somewhere. Unquote. See the difference? In these days, we are already overwhelmed by too many and enough fears that are hurting and destroying us. And we do not want to add any anxieties to our chaotic lives. In this sense, anxiety is absolutely needless because God is near. The English Christian evangelist George Mueller once said, quote, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety, unquote. So true. From the Philippians text, Apostle Paul emphasizes in verses 5 and 6, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. The psalmist proclaims, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Yes, throughout the entire Bible, God always reminds of God's people not to be afraid or anxious. One of the examples, God is saying to Joshua, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Most of all, one of the most significant names of Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Because God is with us always, just as James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's right. Anxiety is needless because God is near. Number two, always choose prayer over despair. Remember, Apostle Paul is emphasizing in verse 6, let your request be made known to God. Yes, choose prayer over anything else, especially despair. In our United Methodist beliefs and traditions, prayer is an essential means of grace as it is seen as a channel through which God's grace is communicated and experienced. It is a way for believers to initiate and sustain a relationship with God, receive strength and guidance, and find a deeper connection with the divine. Prayer allows individuals to enter into a more personal and transformative relationship with God. So, when you pray, what comes next? The verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yes, indeed. That is a blessed assurance of God's peace. So, if you are pursuing calm in your chaotic and anxious life, choose prayer over despair. Number three, peace happens when you pray sincerely and continually. The gospel lesson we have shared today, together this morning, is from Luke. It's the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this interesting parable of Jesus. It's a story about a persistent widow who seeks justice from an ungodly judge. After repeatedly bothering the judge, he finally grants her request to stop her from annoying him, though he had no genuine concern for her or the law. And he is not even a believer of God. And of course, in this parable, this unjust judge is not God. Jesus uses this parable to teach that believers should always pray and not to lose heart, because if a wicked judge will eventually give justice, a loving and righteous God will surely answer the prayers of his people. Interestingly, as Luke introduces this parable, he also shares its lesson point in his own words. Verse number one, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Moreover, Jesus concludes this parable with these takeaway words. Verse 6 and 7, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Jesus also tells us about an important lesson on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount written in the Gospel of Matthew. Is there anyone among you who, If your child asks for bread, would give a stone? Or if the child asked for a fish, would give a snake? And here is the Jesus point. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give more good things to those who ask him? Exactly. My sisters and brothers in Christ, of course, prayer is not a magic spell that turns everything and anything we ask for or desire into a realized, tangible answer. Not really. The essence and point of a prayer are to strengthen our loving and caring relationship with God. Through our prayer life, whether our requests are answered right away or not, whether our supplications are abundantly provided or not, we can continue sustaining our lives in God's provision, God's love, and God's care always. In Colossians, Apostle Paul also encourages all believers about how we should pray. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us always remember and be grateful to God for the peace of God when we pray from the Philippians text, verses 6 and 7. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Therefore, how can you pursue calm in these anxious times? C. Celebrate God's goodness. A. Let's all say it together. Ask God for help, and we will be exploring L and M on next two Sundays, so don't miss it. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.